Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Twisted Sisters True Crime Podcast. I'm your host, Rocio.
And I'll be your co-host, Erin.
Yay. So today's the day after 4th of July. I just wanted to say that I hope you guys had a good and safe holiday. And that I know it's kind of a weird holiday this year because a lot of us, like me, I don't know about you, Erin, but I didn't feel very much in the holiday spirit celebrating Independence Day from a country that took away our rights to control our body. How do you feel about that?
Amen. Preach. Well, I normally don't really like 4th of July anyways because it just reminds me of being sweaty.
Yeah.
And disgusting all day. So, like, I already don't really care for it. But this year especially, I was like, what's the point? What are we doing?
Yeah. I saw a lot of posts like that. A lot of posts, people being like, I don't want to celebrate, not with it.
Yep. And then you have your select few that are like, we need independence now more than ever. And it's like, where are you living? Because where I'm living, it's kind of shitty. Like, what?
For real.
But it was a fun holiday.
Yeah, it was. Did you see fireworks?
The funny thing is I saw fireworks literally Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But literally every time I saw them, I was in my car driving home from either work or like a friend's house. So I didn't actually go view fireworks. It just happened to be fireworks here and there when I was driving home on those days.
Yeah, I think I saw some outside really early, but I didn't drive nowhere to go see fireworks. I didn't do much.
No, I literally, like, the 4th of July gives me so much anxiety because there's so many people. It's so sweaty and disgusting. And then if you go and watch fireworks, you have to, like, wait in a long-ass line to get out of, like, a park or whatever you're at. It's just not even worth it to me. So I spent the day on the lake. Like, that's
fine
with me.
That was nice. I just spent it watching movies.
Mm-hmm. Jet skis. Mm-hmm. That works, too.
Yeah. So, moving on with our case. Today's case will be a little crazy. It will be very disturbing. And it will also be a lesson to take care of other human beings. Like, we kind of need to help each other out, especially now. Times are getting crazier. And I also wanted to add that I had first seen this case from TikTok. It was like a viral video that just talked about Lacey Fletcher and how she was found dead and melted to the couch. And it was such a crazy headline that I wanted to look into it more, and I finally got the chance to.
Yeah, so I actually found this case through like a Facebook page, and I saw it and I put it on our list to maybe cover in the future, but I didn't like read into it. And then a couple weeks ago, Kale, my fiance, had sent me that TikTok that you were talking about. And he was like, y'all should really try to cover this case. It seems really interesting. I was like, funny enough, that's exactly what Rocio picked to cover this week. So I was kind of excited because
that's so cool.
Yeah. Like, I had seen it on a Facebook page, then this TikTok, but I had never heard of it before that. And even just reading the headline, you're like, what the hell?
For real. You're just like, how does that even happen?
Yeah. Like, do these people just not give a shit? Like, what happened? Or is it like a case of hoarders? Or like, what happened? I have no idea.
Yeah, we're gonna find out. Okay, I'm gonna tell y'all first how the scene was found. So the triggers for the beginning right now include severe neglect, abuse, and death. So how was Lacey Fletcher found? Okay, guys. So this first part is a little sketchy because some news outlets say that the mom called 911 for a specific reason. And then the more that I kept looking into the case, I saw that some neighbors actually said something different. So that was a little sketchy, but I'm going to tell y'all how it's been reported in like a lot of news outlets. So on the morning of January 3rd, Sheila Fletcher called 911 after discovering that her daughter wasn't breathing. Not long after, the deputies entered the home and they said that there was a strong stench in the air as soon as they walked in. And so they kept walking and they found Lacey, a 36-year-old autistic woman. She was discovered partially naked, sitting upright and submerged in a hole in a couch, covered from head to toe in urine, liquid feces, and insect bites, with live bugs and rodent excrement nearby, according to the coroner, Dr. Bickham. That's crazy.
Ew. But also, like, how are you going to call 911 and say your daughter's not breathing when she looks like that? I feel like she would have stopped breathing a while ago.
Literally. I was like, how can you even call when it's gotten to this point? Like, you should have called a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, your daughter stopped breathing a while ago. Yeah, that's sketchy as hell.
Yeah. So the authorities said that Lacey could have been on her couch for up to 12 years in the same spot.
12 years?
Yeah, 12 years, bro.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They said that they found her body surrounded by feces and urine, and that she had worn through the couch's upholstery.
Mm.
Like, she was basically melting into the couch. That's what they were saying.
That's honestly so disturbing.
It's just weird.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
How do you also, like, despite the fact that this has happened, how do these people live in the house every single day knowing that their daughter mm-hmm. is dead, rotting away on the couch?
That's what I was thinking too. And like the smell, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the smell, the bugs, everything in that house I would consider unsanitary.
Like rat poop?
Ew. Yeah. No. And like, what do they do? Come home and be like, hey honey, I'm home. Oh wait.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Like,
yeah.
How do you address literally the elephant in the room, aka their daughter melting into a couch?
That's what I'm saying too.
And also, does nobody ask about this person? You know what I mean? Like their friends or something. Like, how's Lacey doing? They just lie straight through their ass, and nobody's seen her in 12 years. That's sketchy too. But I'll let you move on.
Yeah. So I'm gonna tell you how they described the scenes, the pictures that were taken from the scene. They actually got a news outlet, got these pictures, and they couldn't upload a lot of them because of how gruesome they were, but they just described it to us. So
yeah,
Lacey was completely buried in a huge and deep hole in the sofa that her bony frame has worn over the years, scraping away the cushions. Her right arm is draped over the top of her skeletal body near her neck, and she is leaning over on the left side. Her only clothing is a little blue patterned t-shirt that is pushed up on her chest but does not cover her breast. Her gaze is fixed on something, so her eyes are still open. Her mouth is likewise open, exposing a complete set of front teeth. Her legs are pulled up and crossed beneath her, ironically in a way that people get comfortable in.
Huh.
They also said that she had crimson spots all over her face, which that's just little red dots all over your face. And her entire body was covered with feces.
What the hell?
The brown leather couch, it was next to a wall. And surprisingly, there was a gray toilet, like a commode beside of it, and a pile of clothing to the right of the sofa. There's a messy, low black table that's barely a few feet away from the front. It has lotion bottles, talcum powder, wipes, nose spray, and other objects that appear that the Fletchers had the things that required to clean their daughter. They also said that her hair was knotted. It had even gotten into her ears. So that's just like full on, full neglect, not doing anything for this girl at all.
No, and I have so many thoughts. Like, first of all, what the hell is a toilet doing right beside the sofa? That's a little freaking weird.
Yeah. So that, I feel like she just didn't want to get off of the sofa, so they put it there for her to use. But it's so weird that it's still there and you can see that she has not moved.
Yeah.
It's just the whole scene is so weird.
And also, like, my other thought, I like don't know how this works, but like they said that she could have been on there for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long does it take a body to decompose to like a skeletal form?
Yeah.
Does that make sense. Yeah. Because if they could still see spots all over her face and she was gazed, like, looking at something, like, I don't know how long it takes a body to decompose, but you know what I mean? It's just, mm-hmm. like, odd that they think, oh, 12 years. And I'm thinking in my head, like, she'd be a full skeleton by then, but I guess not.
No, she wasn't dead. So that's the thing. She was just there. We're going to get further on into it, but she had, like, a disability where she was just paralyzed and she couldn't control anything but her eyes. So they literally had to do everything for her, and they didn't.
Wait, so she's not dead?
No, so that's what they're saying. Like, this girl had autism, and she had a paralysis, so they had to help her, but they didn't. So she was just sitting there slowly dying.
Oh, my God. That changes everything. Okay, I'm on the same page now. So literally, she called 911 because she's not breathing, but they came and she looks this fucked up. So she's not dead currently.
Yeah. But, like, they did pronounce her dead.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
What the fuck? That makes it even 10 times worse. How can you sit there?
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, all day long and just, like, not take care of her to the point where she literally hasn't moved.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Okay, sorry. That was shell shocking. Okay.
Yeah, same here. So, since she was found with feces and urine on her, you're obviously like, that has to cause wounds. So she had severe ulcers on her butt, and she was suffering from bacterial infections, and she tested positive for COVID-19.
Dang, that's crazy though.
Mm-hmm. And that's all coming from the coroner. So he said that Lacey only weighed about 96 pounds. The skin on her butt looks to have actually worn or eaten away from the 12 years that she had not moved off the couch. They said that her skin just vanished and there were big raw yellow regions on her back and her butt areas. They were so blackened that they couldn't recognize any shape or form.
That's awful.
So you just, that's so nasty. As somebody that works in the medical field and I see like wounds.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine how bad it must have looked.
Or even like, you've probably seen a lot of bed sores. Mm-hmm. Like, think of bed sores times 12 years.
Yeah. And we treat them.
Yeah.
Exactly. We treat them and we patch them up, put dressings on them, and they still look really bad. It takes a long time to heal. So I can't even imagine what one that...
Exactly. And you guys probably try to move them in different positions all the time to make sure they're not sitting the same way.
Exactly.
We gotta
turn them so often.
So, like, just imagine
that. Yeah. It had to have been so bad. So after seeing all this, the coroner, Dr. Bickham, he ruled the woman's death a suicide. He told her cause of death stems from at least a decade of medical neglect.
That is not
I need to go back. That was a typo.
Okay, I was like, wait,
it was supposed to say that after seeing all of this, the coroner, Dr. Bickham, he ruled the woman's death a homicide. He said her cause of death stems from at least a decade of medical neglect. So he realizes that this was purposeful.
Good.
Damn, a little typo.
Yeah, because they easily could have done something about it.
Yeah.
And also the fact that she is autistic and has this paralysis means that she needs around the care like clock. Like, she's basically like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no way at all that this is her fault.
No.
It's in the fault of the caregivers.
Yeah, like what you're saying.
Wow. Yeah, what a big typo. That your typo changed my entire
For real,
reaction.
I was like, hold on. Right.
I was about to get so mad. I was about to be like, they ruled it as a suicide? No. I was about to be pissed.
Yeah. So the coroner's office, they also found that starvation contributed greatly to Lacey Fletcher's death.
Wow.
So one of the sheriffs on the scene, he said that this is Sheriff Jeffrey Travis. He said that intervention should have happened a long time before this tragedy and you can't just let someone rot away.
Literally ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Could have all been avoided if this was such a big problem for them.
Yeah, like why couldn't you put her in a nursing home, something like that?
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah,
there are plenty of assisted livings for younger people who are autistic and can't take care of themselves, or you know, any other disability. There are lots of places. If you felt like you couldn't carry this, like, you know, job, mm-hmm. then you should have given it to somebody else. Like, how the
I just don't get it.
That makes me so mad.
Yeah,
no, I don't get it at all.
From researching, I also found that the Daily Mail reported that Lacey had not seen a doctor for 20 years, and that there were a few neighbors in the family's community that didn't know the Fletchers even had a daughter.
Oh my gosh.
And so ultimately, Lacey died of severe medical negligence, which resulted in chronic malnutrition, acute hunger, immobility, acute ulcer development, osteomyelitis, which is a bone infection, and eventually sepsis. So eventually she just died of sepsis because everything just shut down.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Honestly, too, like the doctors who knew, like she probably was a regular patient. They should have been doing some like check-ins, and if like she wasn't coming in for regular doctor visits, like I'm not saying it's their fault, but they also should have like taken that one step further to do like a home visit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something.
Yeah.
Just to check in on this girl. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not putting this on the medical people, but I'm just saying if I were in the medical field and I knew that like this patient who came in regularly had not been seen in a long time, I'd be like, like, let's check in on her.
So there was one neighbor, Robert Blades. He was a retired welder. He actually questioned Clay Fletcher, the father of Lacey, over her whereabouts around 5 years ago, because he hadn't seen her for years. So Robert said he asked because he hadn't seen her for so long. He actually thought maybe she got married and moved on. So he asked Clay, how is Lacey? How is she doing? Has she moved on off? Has she went to college or what? And Clay replied, oh no, she's still here. She's fine. And then he just changed the subject and that's it. He didn't explain why he hadn't seen her at all, and he said that he just took him at his word because he had absolutely no suspicions about what actually happened at the house, which is like true. Like, you just don't think that somebody's just rotting away in their couch.
No, like I lived in a neighborhood like
that's sad.
Yeah, I lived in a neighborhood all my life with, you know, like 7 to 10 houses in the neighborhood, and like, yeah, we talked to everybody or whatever, but I never once, you know, nothing ever came out about it. But you know, there's no telling what happens in people's households. You just see from the neighborly aspect of them in their yard every once in a while, or you know what I mean, like not every neighbor gets close enough to have like visits at each other's houses. Normally you're just like, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, good, okay, bye. You don't really
talk to them like
not
that.
A lot of people will, yeah, talk to them like that. So I mean, I get it, he probably had no suspicions because to them, he was, you know, a normal neighbor.
Yeah, but this Robert Blade, he also had a 37-year-old son, and his name is Robert as well. They both painted a picture of Lacey as a girl who began to retreat into isolation as she grew into her teens. It's believed her autism accelerated when she was around 14. Now, I kind of want to tell y'all about who Lacey Ellen Fletcher was, because I just told y'all how she was found. So Lacey Ellen Fletcher was born on November 25th, 1985. She grew up in Slaughter, Louisiana, and her parents were Clay and Sheila Fletcher. And I believe that Lacey...
What a terrible...
Oh, I know.
What a terrible name for a town.
Hey.
Slaughter, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. That too. I thought we were talking about the parents. I was ready to shit on them. I was like, hold up. Aren't the Fletchers like some neighbors in a TV show that people hate?
No, those are the Dinglebergs.
Are the Fletchers in The Simpsons?
Dude, I couldn't even tell you. Kale watches The Simpsons every night, and I couldn't even tell you.
I feel like it might be. I feel like it might be. But I was thinking about Timmy Turner and his dad being like Dingleberg.
No, right? The only Fletcher I know is a girl I used to work with, and she's a nice lady. So I don't know anything about Fletchers, but I was stuck on the Slaughter, Louisiana.
That's an ugly name. Like, ew, that's true.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Okay, continue.
I believe that Lacey was an only child, and the Fletchers moved into their neat two-story home on a gravel cul-de-sac around 27 years ago, where then 9-year-old Lacey was brought.
I love cul-de-sacs.
So... Aren't they cute? I love the name, too.
Yeah,
I didn't used to know what it meant, but it's like the end of a road.
Yeah,
like a
circle. Always wanted to live in a cul-de-sac. You know how cool it would be to live in a cul-de-sac with, like, with all your, like, friends in the same cul-de-sac?
That would be cute. Cool, yeah.
Kind of like
a big house.
Kind of like some Desperate Housewives shit. Like,
oh, yeah. I love Desperate Housewives.
Me, too.
I was obsessed growing up. I had, like, no reason to be watching that as a little girl.
Yeah, no, literally none, like none whatsoever. But you know how Kale and I are obsessed with DVDs? Well, I have 3 seasons on DVD, and I want to get more because I never honestly finished it. I always just watched it here and there, or I'd try to watch it, and then I would do what I always, I'd watch it like on, I think it was cable. On Netflix or something.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I watched like the cable version with my mom, like here and there, but then I would go to Netflix and try to watch it. But then what I do every time is I get into a new show and I'm like, damn, I really want to watch Grey's Anatomy, a show I've seen like 90 million times.
Yeah.
But I do it all the time.
One time I did make myself, like, I want to know how this starts and how this ends, because I always used to just watch here and there. So I finally made myself watch it, and I did it on Hulu, the whole series, like, a couple years ago.
Dang. I need to do that. I honestly do not know where I'm at, anything. So I just need to start from the beginning.
Yeah, honestly. It would be good.
But here I am. Whenever Kale's at work, I'm rewatching One Tree Hill for the 5th time.
Mine's Grey's Anatomy. Like,
we watched that together. Go-to. Well, we're watching that together, so I can't watch it when he's at work. Because I've seen it all, but I want, you know, I want to watch it with him. So we're on season 10 of that. So when he's at work, I'm either watching Gossip Girl for the 3rd time or One Tree Hill for the 5th time. So I'm not watching anything new.
I've never watched One Tree Hill.
Oh my gosh, you're missing out. You know, that's where my mom lives now, where it's filmed. My mom lives there.
Yeah, I think you told me that.
Yeah, so the next time I go there, I'm going to take like the One Tree Hill tour.
You should.
We're so off topic.
Yeah.
We're so off topic.
Okay. So.
Okay.
About Lacey's parents. They regularly attended a Baptist church in nearby Zachary, another town over. And Lacey's parents have been described as church-going pillars of the community.
What a coincidence.
And interestingly enough, Sheila worked as a police and court clerk in Baker, Louisiana. Most recently, she worked as the assistant to the city prosecutor and Zachary, according to her LinkedIn page. So that's like a little weird. Like, you're doing really illegal shit and you're working for the police.
I already have so much to say.
Right. That's what I was thinking too.
Literally. And like I was gonna say, like, it's no offense, like, because I'm a Christian, but I'm very liberal about things. So, like, you know what I mean? And I feel like it always comes back to these church going people. Like, I'm not trying to, like, crap on everybody because, like I said, I'm a Christian. But, like, in the last story, Josh, he was, you know, part of, like, the Mormon community and a regularly attended church. Then we had, like, the story with Shasta where the guy, his mom made him recite the Lord's Prayer and then he did the same thing to them. Like, like, what is going on?
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
I wonder why.
I don't know because I... I grew up with a Christian background. I went to church every Sunday, and you don't see me out here raping, murdering people.
But then there's like the father at the Catholic church that's like raping all these little boys. Yeah,
it's like,
that's
what so is going up. On?
It's just like, who can you trust?
Literally.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Mm-mm. The only thing that I could find for Clay's workplace was that he was an officer of the nonprofit Baton Rouge Civil War Roundtable. And they basically had a mission to educate and foster an appreciation for the sacrifices made by all during the Civil War.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's just like, okay.
So it's like both of them are outstanding people in the community and nobody would think twice about it.
Yeah.
Sketchy.
Which is weird. Ironic.
Yeah, very.
So in the beginning, Lacey was seemed to have a fairly normal childhood. She attended the Brownsville Baptist Academy where she was on the volleyball team. Woot woot. I love volleyball. And the picture, you can just see, well, if you scroll all the way down, Erin, that Lacey, she's in the back row and she's smiling and she's just wearing a band in her hair. It's just a pretty picture.
A picture that will be on our blog.
Yes, it'll be on our Insta too. So one of her neighbors by the name of Robert, he said that Lacey appeared to be a happy girl. She liked fun things and that they never knew that there was anything wrong with her until she became a teenager. They also commented that she was pretty thin and that they would see her exercising in the road with small weights that you carry. So she was like pretty active, pretty normal kid, right?
Yeah, just doing the typical teenage kid stuff. Playing volleyball.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah. So Lacey was on the autism spectrum and her condition intensified around ninth grade at the age of 14. And once she started high school, that's when her family said that they started homeschooling her because of how intense everything got. And I believe that would have been around 1999 or 2000 when she was pulled from school if she was 14 and born in 1985. You know, typical age.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. It's just so wild to me that you can be born and like might be a little bit on the autism spectrum and then all of a sudden it just intensifies. Like that just blows my mind. Like what intensified it? Like how does that happen?
I didn't even know that.
I didn't either. I thought you were either just like born with autism. I didn't know you could get like,
or like you could have high functioning autism, but like,
and then it just intensifies one day. Mm-hmm. I don't get how all that worked.
Mm-hmm. I don't either.
Wild.
Yeah. Her neighbors, they said that there seemed to be a change in her from hanging out with a lot of kids. And now she hardly ever had any friends that went over to see her. So I guess they just slowly stopped hanging out with her.
That's sad.
Robert Blade's son, his name is also Robert, he said that she just became different and that she didn't see things the way a lot of other kids did. So I'm guessing that he just meant like she was a little bit more, she wasn't as mature as them. He said that he saw her around 15 years ago, like his dad. And he said that he wouldn't say that he was a particular friend, but that she'd hang out with his younger brother sometime. And they also said that she was different from the other kids her age. So they could tell like something was a little off. They said that she was smart. They weren't calling her dumb or anything like that. But they said that the best way for them to put it is that she wasn't as mature as them. She was like, she was into children things, not teenager things. So Robert, they were the same age, but he was more into like motorcycles and stuff. And she was still into like Disney movies and country movies and like just little kid things.
That reminds me of this girl that I watched on TikTok. Her name's Abby and she's like 24, like close to our age, but she is like mentally around like 10 or 11. Like, she carries stuffed animals all over the place with her. She actually was just on that new show on Hulu called Love on the Spectrum, where she meets, like, another guy with autism, and they're, like, dating now. But anytime she goes anywhere, she brings her stuffed animals. She, like, packs, like different, like, kids stuff. But then at the same time, it was funny because she was about to go on a date, and she was getting ready for her date with a glass of wine.
Huh. It's so weird. Because,
I mean,
huh?
legally, she's 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they, I mean, obviously her mom still monitors her and only lets her have like a glass a day, but it makes her feel her age, even though mentally she's around 10 or 11. So that's probably kind of like how this was.
Yeah. One of Lacey's friends from the ninth grade spoke to the media and they said that they remember her as a sweet, kind person and that she was one of the first people that she was friends with when she started at the new school and Lacey was already there. So a lot of people just said that she was thoughtful and sweet and just one of the sweetest people you could ever meet. So the Fletchers said that Lacey suffered from a disability and it's called locked-in syndrome, a rare neurological condition that causes full paralysis of all voluntary muscles except for the ones that control the movements of the eyes. So literally that's the only thing she could move was her eyes, which is so scary.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's, I can't. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's like being trapped in your own body. That's freaky. No.
Yeah. They also said she experienced severe social anxiety as a teen.
I don't blame her.
I don't either. And in 2010, her family took her to a friend psychiatrist, and that's where she was diagnosed with severe autism after she refused to leave the couch. The Fletchers were told that Lacey needed to be evaluated at a hospital and to admit her at an inpatient facility, which is like, that's what we've been saying.
Like, yeah, that's what we've been saying.
That's what she needs. But she never ended up going to the hospital because of her anxiety and severe autism, and her family just didn't really make her do it. So she hadn't seen a doctor.
No. I would have had the ambulance come and lift her up and take her. No.
Yeah. Like, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And also, this time she's
I would just spoken with a doctor and be like, I physically cannot get her here. How can we make that happen?
You're
going
to have to come out here and do something because, like, and she's underage at this time. So legally, she doesn't even have a right to say anything. Her parents should have done and, you know, taken an extra step to get her there, but they didn't.
She hadn't seen a doctor since she was 16 years old. I was just saying, I had put on my document, like, that's not weird for me. Like, I probably haven't gone way longer, but there's a difference because I don't have all the medical necessities that she has. So it's like way crazier to think that she hasn't gone since she was 16 and she has all these things wrong with her.
Yeah, like the only time I normally ever go to the doctor is if I have like a severe like cold or like when I had to go get tested for COVID or, you know, I about broke my ankle. Mm-hmm. But I don't go on a regular basis because, you know, thankfully I'm healthy and don't have all these disabilities.
Mm-hmm. So the Fletchers stated that their daughter refused to leave the living room couch. They also claimed to have brought Lacey her meals, even saying that she would urinate and defecate on towels or on the floor as if she was afraid to leave the couch. The couple claims to have regularly cleaned her daughter's sores, which is like, yeah, right.
I call bullshit. Yeah.
You're
and
lying.
Also the fact that she has this paralysis, yeah, they may have brought her meals, but at this point she needed to be in a hospital with a feeding tube. There's no way she could eat these meals. Like, yeah. No. They're trying to backtrack it and make it seem like it's
right.
Not their fault.
And nobody really knows when Lacey last left the couch. But you remember that I told y'all that Lacey's body was discovered after her mother called 911 around 2 a.m. on January the 3rd? Well, it's believed that Sheila Fletcher might have been forced to make that call. So
forced?
Yeah. That neighbor, Robert Blades, he said that there was one neighbor around there that they didn't know who it was, but that he had supposedly seen Lacey on the couch like that and told the parents that they had to call the police. And that's what they were told, but they can't be positive that that's what happened. But, like, that would make a little sense that she was kind of forced to make the call. Like, either you call them or I'm calling.
Yeah, that's one of those situations.
Because why would you call now if you haven't called in this long time.
Yeah, if it's really 12 years, why have you not called before or done anything about it? Of course, it kind of seems like somebody's like, oh, you better do this or I'm going to call myself.
Yeah. Robert, he said that he was shocked about what happened to her, that he didn't believe anybody around here had an idea, and that he wouldn't even treat his dogs like that. And he even said that he would have cried like a baby if he had seen her like that. It's just unspeakable. He also just said that if he had seen something, he would have told the authorities, but he didn't. But he did feel that was an obligation we had to each other as humans.
Exactly. It really is, though. If you see something and you feel like it's out of place, like it's like with me working in childcare, I'm legally obligated to report any signs of like abuse.
Yeah.
So if I were to see something like that, even though it's not in a childcare setting, I feel like we are obligated as humans to watch out for one another and, you know, make the right calls. It's like a time, I don't even know when it was. I was out of Sheetz. It was back in those bullshit days where, as a teenager, you hung out at Sheetz.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was some kid, or a couple kids in a car, like teenagers. I call them kids because they're kids to me now. But these teenagers were in the car, and there's this one kid up front that like looked like he was passed out, but it didn't seem like a normal passed out because like he would jump in and out of like consciousness, and like we were talking to the people that were with him, and they were like, oh, don't call anybody, like he's fine. Like we didn't even mention calling like the cops or anything. They were like, oh no, he's fine, like you don't have to worry about it. And I'm like, something's off with this whole situation.
Yeah, like that's weird. Why did you say that?
So we had so we had left, and we wanted to call the police, but whoever was I was with like didn't really want to make a formal like 911 call because we didn't know what the situation was. So we actually went down to, we called like the non 911 number and asked if there was an officer in the area that we could talk to like personally. And we went down to the rec center and met with the cops that were there. Like, I don't know if they were just hanging out inside the rec center, like they weren't in their cars or anything, or if they were working out, but they came out in uniform, and we talked to them in the parking lot, like, and told them, like, hey, you might want to, like, go to Sheetz and just, like, check on this kid, because something's not right.
That's good.
And that's all I know from it. But, like, we felt obligated as humans to, like, reach out. I don't know what happened with the situation at all, but it just felt like something that, like, needed to be done.
Because you never know if somebody else is going to call. So, like, you should just do it if you feel like it's necessary.
Yeah, and obviously they were teenagers and they were probably doing some kind of drugs. And they were like, oh, we don't want to get caught or nothing. He's fine. Like, they weren't going to call. They didn't care.
And he might not have been.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You never know. I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, always. So, what happened with Lacey's parents? Because, like, they need to be held accountable, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So Sheila's story was that Lacey was alive at 10 p.m. and that she fell asleep in her chair and she woke up at 2 a.m. to find that Lacey was dead on the couch. So that's when she called 911 and said, my daughter's not breathing. She also said that Lacey refused to get off the couch and for years, and that she would just use the couch as a toilet. Ew. So despite how they found Lacey that day, her parents weren't immediately charged. But on May 3rd, on May 3rd, 4 months after Lacey's sad death, both Clay and Sheila were charged with second degree murder. But
thank
like
God.
4 months, really?
Yeah, why
but
did it
still,
take that long?
Thank God.
Like, thank God, but also, like, what was the holdup? Like, this was pretty obvious.
You think maybe, like, an autopsy or something?
Yeah.
You know, autopsies sometimes take a long time if it's not, like, immediately a homicide.
Yeah, that is true. And who knows what all, like, happened in between. But still, it's, like, 4 months. This girl was dead on her couch for, or, you know, not dead for 12 years, but, like, sitting on this couch for 12 years, basically melting into it, and y'all are gonna be like, oh, no, they're not. They're not guilty for anything. Let's
like,
wait
that's
4 months.
Crazy, yeah.
But like you said, it could have been the autopsy or something holding it up to have the concrete proof that she was, you know, not taken care of.
So in addition to the second degree murder, the Fletchers could also be charged with manslaughter, cruelty to the infirm, or neglect or homicide. So the Fletchers were expected in court on May 2nd, where a jury would decide the charges will be brought against them. May 2nd comes along, and the Fletchers were indicted for second degree murder by a grand jury and the death of their daughter. So they are facing life in prison, and they said that the photos that were taken from the scene that were really graphic that couldn't be published, those photos were shown to the committee's 12 members, and because of those pictures, they ultimately decided to charge them. So you can just imagine how bad these pictures were.
Thank God. Yeah. And it's just crazy too, like when you think of something from like a court standpoint, there are so many different ways to get the jury to think one way or the other, and like it's important to have every piece of evidence. So it'd be interesting to find out if like they try to deny those photos being seen, because like without those photos you're just hearing this gruesome stuff. Yeah. But with seeing the photos you're like, oh shit.
Yeah,
so that could have really changed their minds. I mean, yeah, they were probably thinking oh, that's shitty, and they probably are gonna get charged, but then they saw those photos and they were like, oh fuck yeah,
yeah, they're gonna get charged. Yeah. So
I know everybody always whines about jury duty, but you know how fun it would be to be like picked for a jury for like a really cool, like,
if it was like
case.
Yeah,
I know that sounds
an interesting case.
I know
case.
It sounds messed up, but like, yeah, I was called for jury duty one time, and we literally sat in the court for like 3 hours watching videos, and like we couldn't have our phones in there, nothing, and then we were all dismissed. Like they didn't end up needing a jury, and I was like, what the. I wanted something cool to happen. And I got paid like $7.
Wow. Wow. Like, but I think what? You still get paid at your job if you go have a job, right? Like they have to pay you for the day.
Yeah, if you have to miss work because you have jury duty, they can't punish you for that. And I'm pretty sure you still get paid for it. Yeah, depending on where you were.
I guess some places depending. So the arrest warrants were issued for the Fletchers immediately following the grand jury judgment. And Sheriff Jeffrey Travis, he said that we picked them up, arrested them, brought them to the jail, and we are in the process of booking them in. Their bond is not my purview. The judge says the bond, and she will work with their attorney for that. I'd say the bond will be really high. Yeah, I would definitely expect it to be high. Should be like $1 million.
I would too. Right?
Yeah.
Keep them.
The coroner, Dr. Beckham, he stated that the photographs of Lacey's conditions were so horrible and frightening that medics would be on standby for the jury members, like after they saw the horrible image. And everybody in the room, they were just so surprised. They were shocked.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
So the coroner... Mm-hmm. The coroner was presenting the case, and he showed the pictures, and he gave the timeline, and he said that the expressions of the grand jury were in utter shock. He said it was like the clock on the wall never moved again.
Oh, that's so crazy. That would
what
have
does
been
that mean?
That would have been so wild to be in that courtroom.
Mm-hmm. So soon after the arrests were made, they were released after 36 hours. That's not fair.
No.
Yeah.
No.
On May 3rd and May 4th, Sheila and Clay Fletcher posted their bonds. Their bonds were $300,000, according to the sheriff. And
Sheila isn't it like a percentage? Like if their bond was 300,000, isn't it like a percentage of it?
Yeah, so they actually just ended up paying $72,000 to cover both of them. So they each had $300,000 bond, but they got a bondsman. So together they just paid $72,000.
I don't believe that if you're in jail for second degree murder, that you should be allowed a bond.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get it, but
like,
I
any
don't
type of murder.
Get it. Like,
no.
Because if you're truly guilty, like, yeah, I don't want you out. But for the people that for some reason somehow get charged with it aren't guilty, that sucks for them, you know?
Yeah.
It's just hard. It's weird.
That is weird.
Mm-hmm. Sheila was released from jail at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesday after the judge had set her bond. And news reporters said that when she left the jail, she just looked straight ahead and she refused to answer any questions they asked. And she headed off hastily with her bondsman.
Wow.
And then she was seen returning to the jail with the same bondsman to pick up her husband around 10 a.m. the next day. And then they were both seen coming out. And the news reporters asked them questions again, and they all still refused to say anything.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So the couple have a lawyer. His name is Stephen Moore. And he said in a statement that they don't want to relive the pain of losing a child through the media. They have been through a lot of heartache over the years. Anyone who had lost a child knows what it's like.
Oh my gosh.
So that's their only public statement.
That just makes my eyes roll.
They don't want to say anything, but their lawyer said that. And it's still bullshit.
Roll in the back of my head because you didn't give it. Yeah, they didn't give a shit for the 12 years that their daughter sat on that couch, but now they're suffering the pain and loss of their child. Then you should have taken the right precautions to take care of your child or she would still be alive. The fuck?
Yep.
Wow.
The DA, they said that they believe justice was served that day. Lacey Fletcher didn't deserve the way she was treated for this type of crime. And second degree murder is the highest charge that could have been produced at the time. They said that negligent homicide is 0 to 25 years. Manslaughter is 0 to 40 years. And second degree is life in prison.
Yeah, I think it is.
He said that he was going to ask for the second degree because the parents didn't do what they were supposed to do. And he agreed Lacey's death was a crime against humanity and added that he hopes this indictment brings some spotlight to victims of this type of crime.
Like, this is legit, like, right now?
Yep. So the couple right now is out on bond, and they're just preparing for when their trial actually begins.
They're out? Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is, like, this year. Mm-hmm. This was all this year. 2022, January, she was discovered.
Oh my gosh, we could like live watch it happen.
And they got released. They're out on bond right now. And they said that their trial could begin as soon as like October. So if we hear anything, we'll just give a quick little shout out in the intro of whatever episode we're doing and just update y'all.
Yeah, we'll make sure you guys are in the loop about it because I know I want to be in the loop about it.
Yeah, because I just don't see them not getting any time. That would not be fair at all.
No, there's no way that they're just going to get off completely like free. There's no way.
So all the pictures of this will be on our Instagram and on our blog.
Ooh, I just saw a picture. Yeah,
if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, Aaron, you can see pictures. The first man is Robert Blades. He was the neighbor. And then there's Lacey.
He looks like a good guy.
Yeah.
She was so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Then there's Sheila Fletcher.
Sheila got me fucked up, though.
Clay Fletcher.
Sheila got me fucked up.
They don't give a fuck. They look like they're evil.
Yeah, like, she looks fucking crazy. And then he just looks mean as hell.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Oh, my gosh. The couch.
Yeah. Like, that's where she was at.
That's awful. Ugh. They look more normal in that picture. Every mugshot probably looks totally different than most people. But, like... That last picture of them, like, by the Christmas tree, they look like a normal happy-go-lucky couple. But,
like, I wonder when they took that picture and where her body's at. Like, on the couch. Where's the couch at?
Right? That's like, creepy. Is that in the opposite corner of the couch? Who took that picture? Or was this one of their nights out and they just were like, oh, she's at home.
Yeah. Who fucking knows?
That's so wild.
But we'll have those pictures up for y'all to see them as well, and they'll be on our blog.
Yay. I hope you guys are checking out the blog, because I posted a lot of stuff from last week's episode, like videos, pictures, everything you want to know about like the episode. And that's what I'm going to do for this episode. I'm in charge of the blog, so I got a lot of stuff over there.
Yeah, Erin kind of runs the blog.
Yeah, so I'm over there doing all that stuff for you guys, and I think it's really interesting if you guys check it out, because I think it's always fun to look at pictures and see faces to, you know, the names that we just talked about. So if you guys will check that out, that'll be awesome.
Yes. So thank you for tuning in to another episode, and we'll see you guys at the next one.
And I'm excited for the next episode because it's my turn to write.
Yeah, I'm excited to have Erin tell me something.
Yes. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.